Hello, everyone. Welcome to Absolute Cuts. I was going to start with Noddy Holder. Can you do the... It's Christmas!
What the fuck is this?
Do you not know? Like, Noddy Holder.
Noddy, are we doing the card?
Oh, that's
Noddy. Noddy? Jesus Christ! It's an early mayor you're having this week. Right?
No, I know Slade, yes.
Yes.
My mum hates Slade.
Why?
She's just a genuine hatred for Slade. Anytime the Christmas, that one song comes on, he's just like, fucking turn that
I
shit.
I get that. I mean, because Slade have got some amazing songs, man.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Do you know, there's a bit in that song, right, that I remember thinking when I was younger, and I still kind of think it now, is one of the best lyrics I've ever heard in a song. Because I used to think it was so clever, right?
Slade.
There's a bit where it said... there's a bit at the end where they fall off the sleigh, basically. And it's... they said... Fuck, right, I'll need to get that. You, Phil. I need to get... Because I'm going to make a tit of myself here.
Slade, hanging off. Is this going to be... I'm trying to think of the greatest ever... I know my favourite ever lyric in a song is Big L.
Big... Okay.
You know Big L, no?
No. Oh, Big L, yeah. Oh, yeah, the rapper.
Yeah. He said, ask Beavis, I get nothing but head.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
It is.
Right, we'll see. Okay, so are you hanging up your stocking in the wall? Are you hoping that the snow will start to fall? Do you ride on down the hillside in a buggy you have made? When you land upon your head, then you've been slayed. Right? What I like about it is, they're called Slade.
Yeah.
You're on a sleigh.
Yeah.
And if you get wiped out, you get slayed. I've never known a lyric where the word at the end has three different meanings.
Okay,
that's,
fair,
I mean, that's not...
All that, right, okay, I'll give them right. that.
There's always an argument this time of year as well. That's Christmas specials. First Christmas special, by the way.
Yeah, he's wearing it. I didn't get the... I should have realised there was a Christmas jumper memo. I was looking at ones too.
I've got shitloads of them if you want any. They
this,
won't fit
this
you.
Looks like this kind of looks like one, but it's just my regular attire.
If I give you one of my Christmas jumpers, it'll look like you're in a papoose.
Moomin.
We had a before we get back onto the Christmas stuff, my sister-in-law Katie texted me out of the blue asking if I could let her know where you got your jumper from last week.
I don't promise,
which isn't even one of your like
Premier jumpers.
It's not one of your feature jumpers. It's that bizarre tartan looking fucking thing. Hey,
what is wrong with it?
It's not one of the best. Like, this is nice. Nice.
But the other one.
But that one is...
a horror show.
It's a bad one.
I don't even know where I got it. I will find it.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you know the... do you know the sack that Cillian Murphy makes as the scarecrow to put over his head in Batman Begins. Yeah. That's what that jumper reminds me of. It's just woven from different bits of fabric.
It's fucking...
It looks scratchy. It looks so uncomfortable to wear.
It's not uncomfortable to wear. It does look scratchy, man. Yeah. You said that, in fairness. Jesus, I actually don't know. I was just like, I met it. It would make sense.
Yeah, it would.
It would make more sense. I'm pretty sure I got that on one of the apps. You know, like a clothes app.
What, Vinted or something like
not
that?
Not Vinted. It was a new one. I've used Vinted. Uh-huh. Got these jeans in Vinted.
Right. Oh, Vinted's fine. Vinted's
yeah,
like...
It was like ASOS or something
all
like
right,
that.
All right, yeah. That's
and
not
me, bad. Me and Daniel, last year, bought fucking like an app on ASOS and he just went mad in it. But the problem is he bought everything on it and then just came back and he just looked like every single outfit he had was just like, oh, yeah. Pure ASOS model,
yeah,
which it starts showing.
Oh, yeah,
but I'm pretty sure I went for something wacky. I don't think it was expensive. That jumper, I think that jumper was a fiver.
Aye,
if I know me,
yeah, even at a fiver, I'm going, Jesus, fucking money bags here.
Money bags,
no, Daniel Sloss actually bought me this jumper.
Did he?
He brought me this back from LA. We saw it in
Christmas, the shark, yeah,
in their version of TK Maxx.
What's that? Target?
No, I think he said it's something. It's just called something like TJ Maxx. They've not changed fuck all.
That's like fucking Eddie Rockets. You know Eddie Rockets?
Oh, one in Dublin. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one in Galway called Jimmy Rockets.
All right. The whole family.
It's the exact same. It's just like Jimmy and Eddie Rockets. Rocket Brothers. We had a twins in our town called Ronnie and Rage.
No. Really? Yeah. Ronnie and Rage?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's nothing else to this. Like, nah. They're related.
They weren't gangsters or criminals.
Nah, well, yeah. They definitely broke the law. Yeah. Well, I think you're always going to do that if your name's Ronnie and the other's known as Rage.
Aye, that's true. That's true. No, what I was going to ask was, there's that debate at this time of year at Christmas, how much Noddy Holder actually makes from that song.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all wild speculation that it's something like 300 grand. He just basically gets a check that lands at his door.
Yeah, yeah.
On the 1st of December for 300 grand every year. But okay. I reckon it's more.
You think it's more?
Well, so this would be on a day when royalties, because now I don't think you would be able to do it, because I know people, comics, that have been in adverts that have been like
paid out again.
Aye, but they've also been given over and dubbed into other countries' languages.
Yes, yes.
So they get residuals from that, and they earn a fucking fortune off that. And then you know people that were in sitcoms and stuff, even a small part in a sitcom years ago. But the BBC don't do repeat fees anymore. Whereas if you were in Only Fools and Horses, or you were in the Royal Family, considering that's pretty much on non-stop on UK Gold and shit like that, you're getting a fair whack of repeat.
Yeah, anything at all.
Money. So, but I reckon, I don't know, I reckon it'll be, I honestly think it might be close to $1 million that he gets every year.
Well, I mean, Sirius, what do you call it, XM or whatever the fuck you call it, give me a check every Christmas for like £12.
Do you?
$12 American or something.
What for?
they repeat like a set of mine's 5 minutes on like Canadian radio.
Wow, that's awesome.
The thing's called Molly the American, and I don't know why. It keeps coming by like Molly the American, $8, $12 every Christmas. I'm like, what the fuck? I have to go into like the bank and go, here's my $12.
Yeah, check. Oh God, because you can't even.
No, and then they're like, oh God.
Jesus Christ.
They're like, put the food on it.
That's literally about 12 quid now.
Not even.
Is it not? No, because there'll be a transfer fee.
And everything. So by the time I come in, I'm just like, I may as well just rip it up.
Yeah.
Just for the actual, like, I need the tenor.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not
saying
I don't need the tenor. It's just the whole hassle and embarrassment going in, like, can you change my $8 check, $12? The first year is like more, 20 or something.
Shane McGowan died this week as well.
He did, yeah.
Big, very sad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I'm laughing, because I'm waiting for you to do something.
No, I'm honestly amazed that he lasted to that.
Same, in fairness.
I mean, there can't be many people that go, fucking hell, how the hell did he make it to, what, 65?
Do you know, when Sinead O'Connor died, I was like, he's not going to be long. They were two best mates. Like,
aye.
Lived with each other for a good while.
But did they?
Aye, last, like, not last 5 years, I'm pretty sure, like, but for about 10, 15 years, they lived together.
Imagine that flat. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wild.
I think if I got invited back to a flat and walked in Sinead O'Connor and that's going to leave us, lads, if it's all the same with you.
Yeah, yeah. We used to do, when I did that fucking reggae night when I was like 18, Catch Reardon used to come in and do our Northern Soul and punk.
All right.
Sometimes she'd drop in from the Pogues.
My, my wife Amy was in a night out with Shane McGowan once.
Jesus, everybody.
Bizarrely, like, she wasn't like, it was part of a bigger, I was going to say a bigger crew. I was making my wife out to be like she's in the fucking Wu-Tang Clan. I can't remember if they'd been to see the Pogues. I think they'd been to see the Pogues. And then someone knew someone that worked like in the merchandise bit or backstage or something like that. And then a whole group of people went to a restaurant in Glasgow called Regano, and she said he was the drunkest person she has ever seen in her life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's married to me. But yeah, she said it was incredible. Like, it was literally, you don't even know whether he knew he was on a night out.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, there's been nothing but stories. Every time I see one's in Manchester, he's always in Manchester causing a right scene.
Yeah.
He's banned from like loads of pubs in Dublin.
Oh, really?
Just too hammered. It's like, we can't have you in here, man.
Exactly. You
look at his face and it's purely done by alcohol and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did well. Did well.
Oh, fuck, guy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, Christ. I love that song.
So he's done. That's Dolores O'Riordan, Sinead, and the only ones left now is like Bono and Conor McGregor. Yeah. Took the good ones.
I was going to say, that must really rile Irish people.
Like,
the fact that Dolores, Shane McGowan, and Sinead O'Connor have gone, yet Bono walks the land, healthy as.
Doing a fucking residency in Vegas in a globe.
Doing a residency in a marble.
That's fucking why. Do you know, I can't believe it. I know so many people that still love you too sometimes. And it's really
like
great.
You too.
But like, you would never. I like one or two songs, no doubt, right? But you know, going to the Vegas Sphere to make sure you see them. Like Dwayne that did our artwork. Big YouTube fan. I'm pretty sure he went to the Sphere.
I mean, I'd like to see it. It looks like a cool fucking thing.
And I'm not ragging on it, but I just can't believe.
No.
Irish people still like YouTube.
I think if you're in a band, so if you're Adam Clayton or Larry Mullen,
there are
two members, when you a YouTube form.
Yeah.
If the lead singer and the lead guitarist then turn around and go, I'm going to be called Bono. You go, fuck off. No, you're not. Your name's Paul.
Yeah.
You're going to be called Paul. If the guitarist then went, I'm going to call myself The Edge. Fuck off. Like, just fuck off out the band. You tit. Take your fucking effects board. Go and learn to actually play the guitar rather than putting everything on a fucking delay and get the Edge. Fuck off. What are you, a fucking cabinet from IKEA? Fuck off.
I reckon I'd be. I always used to ask people who they thought the real Edge was, like as if he was the Sting. And they'd be like,
the Sting?
The Sting.
The Sting.
The Sting.
The Sting.
I put an N in there. I put it in there. That is even funnier. There's two layers in. But we know who the Sting is, too.
Exactly. Another one, Sting. The fuck are you? You're fucking Geordie called Sting. Yeah. Fuck off.
What about who else? Do you have a Seal?
Seal. I don't even know what his real name is.
I think so. That'd be great if it was like.
It doesn't bother me with other. It doesn't bother me with female artists, so bizarrely. Beyonce, quite happy, because that is her name. Madonna doesn't bother me.
What's Madonna's real name?
Oh, it's like.
Is it something real shit?
It's something really. It's like really Latin American like Italian.
I thought it was going to be like Kimberly McGee. They're like, yeah, Madonna. Kimbo. Kimbo McGee.
Cher. I don't know. That can't be a real name, Cheryl.
It's probably just Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Cheryl McGee.
Cheryl McGee.
They're all McGees. You and Nelly Furtado. Deirdre McGee. Seal, yeah.
I don't know what Seal is.
There's a lot of littles now. That's like a real old man. real old
I know
man.
Lil
became a granddad there, just the jumper got into me. And I was sitting there going like, well, there's a lot of Lil Yachty and Lil Uzi Vert.
Lil Wayne, that's all I know.
Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne and Lil Lee Allen.
It's fucking top tier. Top tier.
Oh.
Do you know I got played off last night?
I read this, yeah, and it was in the stand.
No.
Is it Red Raw, though?
No. Free for all in Monkey Barrel.
Jesus, you got played off in Monkey Barrel at the free for all? What, where it's just essentially people with learning difficulties waking to go on stage and they went, no, we've had enough of this.
Oh, man. I was sitting there going, like, I says, I'll be good. I have nothing today. I'll write 5 minutes of jokes that I'd never think, and I'll go out and just do it. Because it's been a while since I did that. Things feel stale, you know, keep the joke thing going up. So when I read this stuff, came on stage, I email ahead going like, I don't want to do the hat thing. Can you put me on first?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Right. So I got it into me. Jay Lafferty's hosting, and she's setting it all up and all that too shit, right? I go out, and I'm doing like 5, 6 out of 10. Like one or two did well, the rest of them were like, nah. I was like, well, I'm not using that again. Right. But I was all building up towards like doing this bit about about my first jobs. I don't know if I told you about the well, anyway, it's like my first job, because my first job, I'll bring it up actually in a second, but just when I just started that, I was like, all right, and I was like, oh, you know, my first job was, next thing there's the lights went slightly up and the music, not the, and I was like, Marilyn played me off. You know Marilyn?
Yeah.
Marilyn just went, yeah, you've done your five.
And wow.
I was sitting there, and I went, well, he wants me to finish. And then I walked off, and Jay's dying laughing. And he goes up, and Jay was like, well, our tech there didn't really want to give the professional an extra minute or two.
Jeez, that is one of the only times where I think you'd have been justified by saying, do you know who I am?
No, yeah. But yeah, the free-for-all.
What music do they play off? Because in the stand, it's obviously Riet Petit, but what do they play off with?
I don't know. Goodbye. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I don't know what it was.
God almighty. And is it loud? Like, do they do it as they, like the Oscars, like you said?
Yeah.
Slow just, and then just...
Just went... Jesus. Mic cut and... Yeah. I was like, all right, thank you!
Man.
It was very funny, though.
I don't know.
I think Marilyn was just literally taken to his like actual notes, in fairness to him. He was just like, you don't do five, you play them off.
Aye.
So, but he didn't give any leeway to him last night. In fairness, when I walked out, he was like,
I don't know if I like Marilyn anymore.
It's a good name.
I did like Marilyn for a spell.
Oh, no. You're in this. Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, God. That's honest to God.
Oh, it's actually great now.
10 minutes in, and you've already had more comedy.
This is like, because it started a couple of fucking, like, I don't know, about 10 episodes ago. Some fucking sticking a horrible joke just to upset the other.
So funny.
It is funny. Yeah. You've gotten two in two.
Aye.
Lil A. Allen. Oh, God.
Right. Christmas films is what we're doing for the next 4 weeks, because there's tons of them and they're all excellent. So I've picked Home Alone for the first week. Now, first of all, do you like Christmas?
I didn't.
Right.
And now I do.
Okay.
Karen and Daniel here over the last 4 years did a real number.
They are very big fans.
And
they
pushed me into it. And then I just sold myself to it. Now I'm all for it.
Do you reckon?
Very much all for it now.
Do you reckon you've enjoyed Christmas more since you've reintegrated yourself with the people of Whoville?
Who the fuck are you? You're on one today, aren't you? You're on one fucking today. Do you know why I might not have liked Christmas? And this was a part of that last bit. My first job.
Oh, yeah, shit, sorry, yeah.
I'll tell you what my first job was. When I was 15, my first ever job was to... My mum worked in the post office, would bring me in and I'd shred everyone's Christmas letters.
Oh, my God!
So my very first job was I'd go into the post office, just take all the kids' letters and just go, shred them all.
Jesus.
Didn't even open half.
This is pre-Christmas. This is from like
December
1st onwards.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd arrive at the post office.
And yeah, yeah. They're not even open. You just right through the shredder.
My God.
Make sure they're Christmas letters sometimes.
I was going to say, so there must have been mistakes.
Yeah. This is the last money I have to help your dying kid. Yeah.
Someone didn't get their cancer diagnosis over Christmas because you were on a shredding spree that day.
I was sitting there every time looking and go, thanks from Chris. And I'd be like, I wonder if that's my friend Chris. I'd be sitting there like looking and going, ooh, posh family wants two Xboxes.
I was going to say, did you get a chance to read them?
Oh, I read loads of them.
Were there any proper heartbreaking ones where it was like, I just want my mum and dad to get back together?
I don't remember. That would be great. Shit. I would have probably looked out for that now.
Yeah.
I didn't have the awareness to do that when I was 14. If I saw any writing, I probably would have been like, ugh.
Shrink. Oh, that's what a horrible.
Just bring Papa back. He's not going to see it.
Honest to God, it's no wonder you're the piece of shit that you are, because if that's your first foray into the employment world.
Hey, you know what? My mum put me through it. It was my mum that was like, Ryan, I got a job for you.
Wow.
Yeah. But my mum, I remember Christmas. What's the worst ever Christmas present you got? Do you remember last year what I got? Was it the year before?
Was it something to do with the British military?
No.
Was that Tom not buy you one of them?
Yeah, I think he did that in the Secret Santa. Now, my mum last Christmas bought me men's health tablets.
What?
Like vitamin tablets.
Or just vitamins?
Just called men's health.
That's the kind of shit you get in Primark.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like just generic things.
Just said men's health, and I go, all right, cheers.
They were probably like Viagra things. Did you take any of them?
No.
No. I bet that's what they were. I bet they were.
It had a full body, a grey man, looked like the Silver Surfer, right. Like standing like this.
A massive arm on.
A big bunker.
Bunker.
You got a right old bunker on him, the Silver Surfer.
I didn't know your mum worked in the post office.
Yeah, it was with my dad.
Oh, did you?
My dad got sacked for throwing a dart. No, right. Right. So what happened was my dad worked in a car factory, right? Uh-huh. And I heard that, like, oh God, this factory called Seagrow, they made car doors and stuff, right? And I remember he came back and he's like, job's gone. And he was like, fucking factory closed down. You know, and I was like, all right, cool. My mum got him a job as a postman in the post office. My mum's like an area manager, right? So he gets a job as a postman, right? But I don't know, about 7-8 years, we're driving towards my cousin's house, which is where the factory was. And I drive past and the factory's blossoming. It's open. I looked at him. I was like, the fucking Seagrow reopened. And she just kind of looked at me. He's like, well, you're probably old enough to know now.
Oh, God.
I was like, what's happened here?
No.
He got hammered. I think at a wedding, apparently. And he came into work the next day hammered. Can't really do it in a car factory with all the heavy machinery. And the manager was like, you need to go home. And Eugene had a dart in his back pocket from the night before in the pub and just tried to chuck it. And apparently, I think it's on like he missed him, but he still went bullseye. He's like, get out. So,
oh,
yeah.
God. Oh,
so, man. Yeah. So my dad's now a postman.
Wow.
He often gets into trouble for kicking like dogs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should have known your mum was worked at a post office, actually.
Why is that now?
So I'm forever slipping things in our box.
Fuck it. The devilment. I could see your eyes glazing over like the fucking...
Oh, God.
Like this. Fucking shark.
So, yeah. So you've been tuned into Christmas.
Yes, yeah. So I've been getting into it now. I've already watched The Night Before.
Oh.
Which we'll do probably we'll next do, Christmas.
Yeah, we will. We will. Spoiler, it's not going to be one of the four, but it's definitely up there.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
So Home Alone, which I'm assuming everybody must have seen. Like, I honestly think I've... Because this came out when I was 9.
I was just born.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
1990, yeah.
I reckon I've seen this every single year since 1990.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Middle of summer.
I didn't realise this until I was looking at the dates. Pesci had this and Goodfellas.
I did check that.
Months apart.
Yeah, yeah.
What a year for the man. God, what a...
Two home runs, one of the biggest films of all time, one of the biggest kids' films of all time.
I mean, like...
Probably the biggest.
What a difference in acting in terms of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even what they look like.
Oh, God. I've got some of my own theories about Home Alone. Because I think Home Alone is one of the darkest films ever made. Right?
There's a couple of parts, though. Yeah. Do you know, like, I told you this at the end of the last episode when you said Home Alone about how much I hated this film. I hated Macaulay Culkin's. It was just Macaulay Culkin. I hated Richie Rich especially.
Oh, yeah.
Delighted when he died in My Girl. I liked My Girl. Yeah.
The bees!
Like, yeah, I was like, yeah, it was like the Wicker Man. He's like, the bees, and I'm like, get them! Stab the little cunt. I'm fine now with it.
Give him his glasses. He can't see anything without his glasses. He's not going to need to see anything. He's dead hen.
Open casket. Guy's all fucking swollen up. Ballooned up.
I've seen this film every single year, pretty much since then. And I love it.
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
I still laughed a lot. I watched it with Amy and the kids last night. And there's wee moments that I howled laughing at a bit I've not laughed at before, which is when all the mayhem's going on in the house and Kevin's been told he needs to sleep with Fuller and he's raging because Fuller always pisses the bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes in and asks Buzz and he goes, can I stay in your room? And he goes, I wouldn't let you stay in my room if you were growing on my ass. Fucking howling laughing.
I didn't notice Fuller, who Fuller was until this time.
Yeah, it's Kieran.
I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, yeah, I just didn't know. I don't know who that dad is. I know he's in everything.
John Heard.
I know he's in other shit, but I never
knew.
He
was in Sopranos.
Was he? Yeah, oh.
He's in a lot of early 90s films.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. And then Catherine O'Hara's great, obviously.
Oh, Catherine O'Hara's 36 in that.
Is she?
36 years old. Fucking depressing. Like, 36 years old in that film.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Proper 90s. As the mother of all these children.
Oh, God. So, if you've not seen it, then...
I don't know what to tell you.
Kid gets left home. Fabla go to holiday Paris.
Home alone.
Mayhem ensures that he gets left at home. He thinks he's made his family disappear. He has to look after his home. Two burglars try to burgle his home. He protects it.
Like, at the start, the policeman comes in, right? And it's Joe Pesci, obviously, pretending to be a policeman just to make sure that everyone's out and all that type of shit. The one thing is, he's so bad at hiding who he is.
Yeah.
Because at one stage he goes, and somebody's coming in, like, he'd be like, and don't worry about your house when you're away.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be just fine.
Yeah, yeah, he does say
you
that,
just,
yeah.
You just turn around when you walk up the steps going, are you going to try and rob my house?
Yeah. I also reckon if I was pretending to be a policeman, I might have taken my gold tooth out. Like, I reckon nobody's going to go, oh, well, I feel secure now because fucking Flavor Flav's looking after the house. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that'd be the one thing I'd take out to pretend I was a cop.
Oh, God. Do you know... There's a lot about it. When he comes in, yeah, he's trying to do that. The kids are all fucking running around like mayhem. Nobody's answering. And then the pizza, it's the first time you see the pizza delivery guy that gets absolutely fucked in many ways all over the place. They were getting ready basically to go on holidays to France. And the part where I was just mesmerized at the start is when the dad goes, what's the plugs? How am I going to shave in France?
Yeah, I know.
Well, just a non-electric razor.
I know.
It's never good when this guy's going to be, when the parents are retarded.
The parents are. Like, so I was going to say,
use that word, but.
Do you think it's, because there's a lot of things about this film. First of all, the storm, the reason they're late for the airport is there's a storm that takes out the electrical wires. Takes out the electricity and their alarms go off. There is not a chance in fucking hell that a family household
15,
with
wasn't it?
15 children running about is sleeping in past 8 o'clock. Not a chance in shit. You've got a kid that can barely sleep without pissing himself.
You tell me
he's not up at 5 a.m. because he shit the bed. Like, of course, someone's up.
There's not a chance. Yeah.
Also, there's
all
no,
the adults.
Even in a pre 9/11 world, right? You're leaving the house at 8.
With all those kids.
The fucking Uncle Frank says that the plane leaves in 45 minutes.
So you have 15 minutes until the gate closes, probably?
Yeah, but, like, they're half an hour away already in the car. How? Unless they get taken right to the plane driven on in one of those back ramp things, there is not a chance they're getting on that flight.
Grand Theft Auto did. Ramped
no
over
chance.
The gate. Yeah. It was ridiculous. I did laugh at how the pre 9/11 you could see it because, you know, they're running through the like they'd be lit up if they did that.
Ran in through
security. Yeah. They'd just be opening fire on the kids.
Yeah. I love the way as well in that kind of era you could just buy a plane ticket off someone else.
She
tries to buy plane tickets off people. Like, just their name on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're not even in first class. Here, have my first class ticket. It's not how it works at all.
Oh, I feel so remember the old couple that tried to help, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember his name. Oh, Paddy, I feel so bad. Give her your ticket. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here?
Right. So, I'm gonna give you some of the theories to this film.
Okay.
Right. Okay. The main one is, as I've discussed in this podcast before, what the dad does for a living.
Okay.
Peter McAllister, right?
Right.
Now, he's got a massive house. It is by far the biggest house on that whole street.
Yeah.
It's the nicest house in the street because the wet bandits target it as being, that's like the whale.
That's the
one that's, he's going, there'll be some nice jewellery, there'll be probably a cash hoard. He is also paying for, so what is it?
15 people.
11 kids, 4 adults, all to fly to France. He's picking up the pizzas as well, which are no fucking mean. You know, 122 quid.
Was 122, so, yeah.
He's got the transfer to the airport as well. Four of them are in first class.
Yeah.
All the kids are in regular. So, what he does for a living, right? Because it's never ever mentioned, right? Now, the popular thing, my theory is people trafficking.
No, why would you?
That's my theory.
No, why would you have Peter McAllister as a sex trafficker?
Because that's why
people.
That's why I think there's so many people in the house all the time, because you can have other people. Because if they're so, if the neighbors are so used to having that many people in the house all the time, you can easily add another couple that you haven't been able to ship yet, hanging about the place. And no one's going to raise an eyebrow.
So you think there's going to be a
couple?
Because
they've always got 15 people around there.
And they're like, oh yeah, they're Sergio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why does some of them look a lot weaker than the others? I don't know. But there's always 15 people around there.
Just got to go down to the docks, honey.
So that would make sense because he'd earn a lot of money. That's why he has to go to Paris.
Okay, right.
Right? Because we know from Taken.
Yeah, it happens.
The prime people trafficking areas. So he's over there on a scouting. I don't think he's just in. I think Frank's involved as well. I think the brother who now lives in Paris. The brother lives in Paris now. The brother's been given an opportunity in Paris. So the brother, whoever his Rob, okay. I think his name is, he's running the operations.
Okay.
In Paris, the trafficking.
But Peter's the big dog.
He's the dig dog.
The dig dog.
Frank, I'll get to him in a minute, right? So I reckon it's that. I reckon that's why they have to go over there. That's why. There's a weird bit at the start when he meets Pesci, because at this point he still thinks Pesci's a police officer. The first thing he says to him is, I'm under arrest.
Okay.
Is that a normal... When you first met a police officer... Like, if you met a fireman randomly, would you go, is my house on fire? Like, you wouldn't do that, right?
I would say it if the fireman was in my house.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is more plausible, but you don't say that to policemen.
No.
The first thing you say to a policeman isn't,
cuff me.
Oh my God, am I under arrest for something? Right? So he fucking knows there's shit going on, right?
Right. Okay.
That is why I have a theory as well that Kevin is so hung up on getting the new toothbrush that has to be approved, because toothbrushes are one of the biggest things that will contain DNA. So the dad has drummed it into the whole household that we buy a new toothbrush on the regular because we can't have this shit. That's why.
So you think they're all fine with it as well? Catherine, right? O'Hara knows.
She knows. She fucking knows, right? And she's quite happy to live the good life.
Okay.
She turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
That's why she's such a terrible mother.
Okay, right.
That's why they have the massive furnace the basement, right?
Right.
Not to burn people. What I'm saying is to burn evidence, right? There's a lot of evidence that they need to burn. Toothbrushes constantly going,
out the wazoo
in there.
Yeah.
Right? That's why Kevin is so terrified to go up to the attic, because any of the spare people... They keep up there.
Spare people. Okay.
Right?
Look.
Now, the popular theory is that he's a mob boss.
And why is... He doesn't carry himself like a mob boss.
But maybe he does, but like... No, you wouldn't. But if you were trying to keep an incognito suburban lifestyle... He's not Tony Soprano.
Yeah, okay. But you know...
He dresses like a mob boss.
Does he?
He's got a big overcoat on quite a lot of the time.
Okay, well, Jesus Christ. All right, American wears overcoat in Christmas.
But I'm still going with people trafficker.
You think it's a people trafficker?
And I think they keep Uncle Frank around. They'd love to get rid of him.
But he knows.
He knows a lot of shit. I also think...
He knows where the bodies are.
He knows where the bodies are, but also Uncle Frank has molested the children. That's why Fuller wets the bed. It's got nothing to do with the Pepsi. He wets the bed because Uncle Frank's in the house again.
You think, and that's right? Why, you know,
another
to get
reason
away
why they crushed
the chair against them. Right?
Yes, yeah. That's not the first time he's pinned them up against a wall.
Right? Oh God!
That's why Kevin's terrified. That's why Kevin's terrified of the basement as well.
Okay.
Because a lot of the pumping happened down in that, basement.
Sorry, what do you mean pumping now? So I thought
Frank would molest people.
Frank would be, you know, dipping into the stash.
Yes. That's why they've tried to pin the blame on the old man Marley. They've tried to get a rumour going on about him where people have disappeared. Fuck all to do with old man Marley. It's Uncle Frank has been...
a diddling.
He took old man Marley's kids.
Well, no, the kid came back. Old man Marley's kid comes back at the end.
Oh, I see he does.
Yeah.
Well, what's the story about that he killed kids then?
The story is he killed his family and other people in the neighborhood. And then he said that the police had not enough evidence to convict the shovel murderer. And in my head, I was like, if there was a shovel murderer, it would be nothing but evidence. If you're wiping people's heads off with a shovel.
They say salt.
He very talks them into mummies,
but does salt dissolve human bodies?
No, doesn't salt not.
Like, I thought it preserved them.
Preserve it, yeah. It'll take the moisture out, in fairness, but I don't know. What's lye?
Lye. That's that shit that they use in Fight Club to make the soap.
Oh, shit, no, I wasn't thinking about that. But
is it not?
Yeah, it is. It is. I was thinking about lye in The Wire when they bury. Close them up on the thing, cover them in lye, put plastic over them. It must be just to burn it quicker, get rid of the body quicker. Okay, right. Okay, so that wouldn't work. That would actually make you a mummy.
Yeah.
That's it, because
my friend James, who I wanted to make sure I gave a shout out on this, because he knew we were doing this. He was texting me various.
Has he put this pedo thing in?
No, I've had this for years.
Yeah, okay, right.
I've always believed this for a long, long time.
I have my theory now. My theory is he's a stand-up commie. he's the new Matt Rife. His crowd work's off the fucking chain.
At the start,
okay,
Kevin comes up and goes, Uncle Frank's showing the kids a film, but he won't let me watch it. Catherine O'Hara says, well, if your Uncle Frank won't let you watch it, it must be really bad. How bad is it? She knows that he's shown him some kind of fucking child pornography.
For fuck's sake.
And it's such brutal, horrible child pornography that even...
Even
Franco the Beast is going, Christ, that's a bit bad.
There's too much in it.
Right?
Okay.
So, there you go.
This is your Alex Jones.
Another criminal, right? Okay. That's why they get in the plane. Because it's the big boss man, Peter. Who else gets taken directly to? Who else gets... He's made some calls. That plane's been delayed. There's not a chance that plane took off in the time it was allocated to.
I feel like a fucking sex trafficker, like, as a man that has been questioned...
Wouldn't fly commercially.
they would be like, sex trafficker is the one thing they're really looking out for in airports.
Right.
Like, I got sexed up. I got questioned for it. Remember I told you about this, did I?
For sex trafficking?
Yeah.
No.
Have I not told you? I have told you this.
I'm fairly certain I'd remember this story.
I got questioned for sex trafficking in Sydney Airport. Mm-hmm. And I was on holidays, and I was with three friends who were all women, right? And... They brought me in. I thought it was like I was going to be in part of like a joke, it was a prank show. So like they all got taken away into separate rooms and I did too. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, they basically asking these weird questions for a good while. And then I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I was like kind of half laughing because I thought I was being set up. I wasn't, right? So they were all like, have you anything to say about all the thing? And I was like, have you seen them? I wouldn't be stand to make much money. Whole place just like dead faces. Jesus. Nobody said anything, and I was like, "Oh shit!" I was like, "Oh shit!"
Oh my god!
It's so sad.
Oh, that's
and
bad.
Then they came, I must have just lit up on some sort of profile, and then apparently I got away because it goes. Yeah. And I was like devastated then because when they came out, they were just like, "You're all right, the other three have cleared you." I mean, they laughed at the whole thing, and I was like. And then I came out to them three, and I was like, "You laughed? You think I couldn't be a sex trafficker? Is that what you're saying?" I've got the head now. I've got the look. I was ginger, but now I'm cured. Yeah.
Right, the last bits I'm going to have about Uncle Frank and
okay, right.
The trafficking. right?
It's there is a lot. You've made your point.
I'm not trying. I'm genuinely not trying to make a very wholesome, because it is a very wholesome, lovely film. The whole Marley storyline is very, very nice and very, very nice. I'm just saying that there's dark undertones to this film.
Is Matt the old shovel man? I thought that was fucking shite, but I'll get to that.
I might be taking it too far with people trafficking, but I definitely think he's in the dad's organised crime. He's into organised crime. What was the last things I was going to say about it?
Mm. Here's my one. If he's in the organised crime, the two robbers would know who he is because they keep telling him it's McAllister's house.
No, because I don't think he goes by McAllister.
Okay. Is this Petey Mac's house?
But I think that the fact that when they plays the tape, Angels with Filthy Souls.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a porno. And just like that. I was like, what? Oh, no. Because it was just after he saw the Playboy.
And he's like, I sort of recognise snakes. Snakes. That's they've specifically used this film because that's part of their code names as well.
Okay, right.
And though that was the last thing. This goes on to Home Alone 2. Uncle Frank panics like fuck when Kevin, because Kevin's got like that dictaphone recorder thing that he uses in the hotel. He records him in the shower. And that's like the biggest panic that Uncle Frank has, because now he's got his voice on tape.
Okay, right.
So that
right,
I mean, now right. he's got admissible evidence.
you're taking leaps now.
They literally do not want a single bit of evidence around about this house.
Leaps.
You don't. Well, explain that. Like, no, when they go through the Murphy House's basement, they don't have a massive. Why have they got such a big furnace? Like, that's like no boiler I've ever seen in my life in any house.
It's a big house.
Why does it come up like that?
It's a big house. They got a.
What are they but like? What are you burning in there?
I'd burn everything in a furnace if I had one.
Exactly. Of course you would. If you've got the furnace, suddenly, when you have the opportunity to burn, you end up finding things to burn.
Right. Okay. I do agree with that, because like there is a barrel out there that used to burn shit in for that.
Exactly.
I was like, all right.
Then how far does it go? You start burning.
Newspaper.
Yeah. Then you move on to clothes.
Yeah. Okay.
Then it's a pet. Like.
So it's newspaper, clothes, a beloved pet.
Yeah, that's the.
One that's straight onto your
land. That's the escalation of it.
In fairness, they do kill animals to start, and then you're burning humans. Mm. Do you know that he's scared of that? You know, like Kevin or whatever, scared of the fucking thing. That's my pampas grass.
Mm. Oh, yes, yes.
When I was a kid, scared of pampas grass, that was his.
So, yeah, I might be backing down on the... I might not think that he's actually... I'm a Lester. But
you've
I do.
You've fucking sold me on it.
I do now. I am leaning more towards that they're part of organised crime.
Okay. I mean.
Three brothers. One of them's moved to Paris. Shitloads of money. A lot of secrecy.
Okay, yeah.
Worried about the cops being around.
They
never find out. Managed to somehow get special treatment in various kind of ways.
Would you think his security would be better if he was a mob boss? Because he explains the security, he goes, we got the...
So maybe you'd have guys watching the house.
Well, where the fuck were they?
Exactly, that's what I mean, aye. Oh. Unless... unless there is shit tied up in that house, and this is an insurance job. Okay. So Peter has hired Harry and Marv to destroy the house, never thinking that they'd... That stupid cow would leave the kid at home.
She's sitting there going, and now, Kevin, and he's sitting there on the plane going, for the love of fucking God. Well,
so then, right?
Kill him.
Exactly. Initially, Harry and Marv, all they were to do was to go, that's why they flood the place, right? Because if you want to get rid of stuff, right, flood damage causes far more damage than fire damage. That's a widely accepted fact.
Is it?
In the damage world.
That's right.
In the insurance world, trust me, it is the water damage that the fire brigade will use to put out the fire that will cause far more damage than the fire itself, right? So initially, that's what they've been hired right? By Peter McAllister, Harry and Marv.
Okay.
They've got to go in there, make it look like a robbery, do a couple of the other houses as well.
Okay.
Make it look like it's a spree.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And be a bit haphazard about it. Make out like you're a couple of morons, right? Don't make this look like a professional job.
Okay.
Get in there, take what we need you to get out, which is...
Is that why he...
Evidence, video, DNA, clothing, probably some laundered cash. Get that out of there. Do your thing with the flood in the place. Destroy it. Fine. We'll come back to France. Oh my God, some... helpless burglary has happened, but at least we're all okay. They're fucking clean free. Maybe he's trying to make a break. Maybe he's trying to make a break from life, like fucking Marty and Ozark. Maybe that's what, right?
Right.
Right. So maybe that's what's happening.
Then,
stupidly, they leave the kid behind. Now they're going, well, we've got to clean up this mess, right?
So now...
kill the kid as well. It's your kid. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's more important that we get away with this scot-free... then, because we don't like Kevin anyway, it's obvious. He's the least well treated kid in the world. They hate him.
Yeah.
So he's not a huge sacrifice to continue that rich lifestyle. If they were going to kill one of the kids, Kevin would be the one they'd kill. So that's when it takes on a different turn, and they're like, "We're not just robbing the house anymore. We want you to murder the child."
Do you sometimes not think you sound like a madman?
With this, yes.
Well, I'll say one thing that will back up one claim about the... Because Marv, when he's like robbing the house, he's not really stealing anything. He's smashing everything.
Yeah.
And he's putting it in the bag. He's got a crowbar and he's just like scooping it in and everything's smashing even into the bag that he's taking. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're not going to be able to use any of the stuff you're taking here.
He's just an anarchist is what he is. Because he's stealing...
He's just got a madman.
He's stealing like... fucking family portraits and stuff. Like, what fence is going to take this off you? You're not in there just taking jewellery and big screen TVs. You're taking... Plus, none of them have got a good TV. All the TVs that Kevin uses are shite tiny wee ones with a video attached to it.
Yeah.
The other theory...
okay.
This is a wild one that I read online.
This is going to be... Right.
Is that Peter McAllister...
okay. Hit me with it.
Runs a government agency that trains Jason Bourne-style spies, right? And Kevin is his last hope, right? He's tried it with Buzz, right? But Buzz has come out as basically like a mercenary, like an absolute psychopath.
Okay.
And he doesn't have the stealth, he doesn't have the nous to get
on. He's too crass.
Yes, he's far too out in the open.
It's Trump's origin story.
Exactly. Kevin is the last hope, which is why he is ostracizing him from the rest of the family, so that he can get that almost orphan-like mentality where he has no emotion towards anyone because he's never been loved. He has no loved ones.
Okay.
And this is the test to see if he can defend his house against two. That's why he's been training Kevin for... How the fuck does Kevin know how to draw blueprints of a house?
Do you know, he did whip them out. He'd already had them done.
What child knows how to hook up a blowtorch with a pulley, right? He's been getting trained for this for years. This is his last test in a Jason Bourne-style thing.
Right, okay.
And
I'm more on this one. Right, but also, by the way, he had that blowtorch set just for the man's head, and he's quite lucky, because if it was Marv, he's getting it in the face.
He'd
be wandering around like fucking Simon Weston. Be a whole different horrific, shine bright like a Simon. Thank God Joe went in that one. Literally horrific. I must say, the funniest thing about the thing is getting the very first thing he does to them when he shoots Joe Pesci in the testicle.
Yeah.
He wipes the testicle clean off him.
So for that range. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that was very funny.
What do you reckon is the most painful of the...
Right, so the most painful one is the blowtorch.
You think?
The thing was sticking to his head.
It's because it's the bit with the fact that there's the fluff of the hat still sticking on the... Yeah.
I'd go with that.
I think...
I can't watch the other one.
I think the iron. Oh, I think the iron coming down and smack, because see the way it smacks him. See if that came down point first. That's going through your skull.
Yeah, he's done well not to kill them.
And the paint, there's no way that paint cans, because they're full.
They're heavy, yeah.
They would take your head clean off, I reckon.
No, you would get knocked out. You would not get, it would not decapitate
it would,
you.
It would smash your face in. It wouldn't just knock you out. It wouldn't knock you out.
I reckon it would knock you out. It would bloody crush
your skull.
Crush your skull. No chance. No chance in fucking hell. That would kill you.
I reckon at very best, crush skull.
No way.
Probably head clean off.
Such a different film if he's standing there and he's just decapitated a robber.
The nails, that's a sore one.
That's the hardest
I have to watch when he steps in the nail and it goes into his foot. That's...
So I've got a good one about this because I know my uncle Scunge, right?
Right, hold on, we'll just take a wee pause there. Your uncle what?
Scunge.
Scunge. Cool.
We call him Scunge.
Absolutely perfectly normal name. Let's just move on and not explore that name at all. Right. Scunge.
Yeah, we call him Scunge.
Right.
Don't ask me.
What's his real name?
Aiden. So, my uncle Aiden.
Sometimes you're so Irish, it's fucking painful.
Right. So, Aiden, proper lad. Uh-huh. He's got one of those jobs, he's just got a van.
Right. Good man, a van guy,
right. So, but he was working on a construction site once, and Aiden. He was running out and he stepped on a nail straight through his foot, right? So he's like, it's horrific. He takes two steps out and the boys grab him, you know, like they help him. They're like, well, you're going to have to go to get a tetanus shot or whatever.
Excuse me.
No, he's like, you're going to have to get a tetanus shot or whatever. So they put him in arms around the necks or whatever. They try and bring him and they walk him past the same nail and he steps on the same nail through his other foot.
Jesus Christ.
Scunge put his two feet through the exact same nails. He looked in and he drived like he was got stigmata.
stigmata for the
They thought it was like did they give up halfway through the crucifixion? They got your nail. So he got the same nail through both feet. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, that's nice one, Scunge.
The same nail on the two feet.
It is proper tit mood.
Do you know what I was thinking there when you said stigmata? I was like, I totally forgot that they'd crucified Jesus in the feet as well.
Oh, they went the extra mile with him.
Because I was thinking, my God, what a funny image that would be if they crucified him by his feet. But I had his two feet up like this.
Was he doing that thing where
he splayed like a porn star?
Was he, you know, that stupid walk if you're holding your feet and you go.
Just every crucifixion picture, like, Jesus is like that fucking guy in Fake Taxi when he gets his arse licked.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. Yeah, that was sore. I can't do the nail.
Do you know what's another weird thing, right? Which I'm assuming was meant. The proper medieval, like, he tars and feathers them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, separately, but that must have been in the director's and writer's minds going, that can't be a coincidence. That one of them gets tarred and one of them gets feathered.
That's great. No, yeah, that's good.
That is good.
That must have been the reason for that. Actually, why are you dressed like a chicken?
That's very, that's so many funny things. The hell you take your shoes off? The hell you dressed like a chicken?
They walk into pretty much every, it was like booby trap 14 when they went, let's not walk into these now.
Yeah.
Booby traps are what I call strip clubs.
The Christmas decoration ones, that looks very sore as well. With the bare feet on the Christmas lights.
It's very Die Hard.
Oh, that looks very...
Because, and you know, he stands on the second one too. He just goes...
Because if you've ever seen one of those Christmas baubles that has smashed, the glass is so thin, but so sharp. It's like razor blade sharp. Yeah. They're good. I mean, they're fucking great.
Yeah, yeah. That dude's great. I don't really know him in anything else, is he?
Daniel Stern.
No, yeah.
He's in City Slickers.
Never seen it.
That was really good.
Okay.
The tarantula as well. Because that's one of the funniest bit when he's the scream he gives.
Oh, one of the greatest film
screams of all time.
Yeah.
But tarantulas aren't, they're not poisonous, are they? No. They're just massive and look scary.
I would scream like him.
Oh, aye. Oh, God. I'd be like, fuck that.
I love it. He's like, you wouldn't know what's happening. He's like, stand over him with a crowbar.
Yeah.
Don't move.
That is very funny.
By the way, who the fuck you? I've never even seen a crowbar. Have you seen a crowbar?
Now, here, I've not, because what would we...
The fucking crowbar. They're fucking shite.
We don't really use them in this country, do we? Crowbars?
No, they're shite.
Because
what the fuck do you need a crowbar?
When we were watching it last night, Seamus was asking me, what do you use crowbars for?
And I was like,
just exactly what they're using them for. I can't think of any other use I've ever seen them,
You can use so many other things just as a crowbar.
Yeah.
I've never seen a crowbar. The only last time I've seen a crowbar was in those Willard Blend videos.
Aye. But then they've got the wee bit, the hooked bit, and then it's got a wee divot out of it.
Yeah.
So I'd be assuming that would be like nails that you'd pry. Oh, but then what kind of fucking size of nail would you need a hole? Because you just use the claw end of a hammer, aye? So.
I'm telling you. Crowbars are for...
That's a good point. I've never used a crowbar. Like, it's not like my dad had a crowbar always in the shed.
Yeah, my dad had fucking nunchucks and he didn't have a crowbar.
Aye, if Eugene doesn't have it, it's not a well-used weapon.
If it's not up there, I have a note here going, is it true that French babes don't shave their pits?
Shave their pits, yeah.
By the way, what pissed me off in his bedroom was, what do you call him? Buzz's bedroom. Buzz's bedroom was, he was a fan of like every single NBA team. You didn't look at this.
That's a good point, yeah.
He had Detroit Pistons on the wall. He had Michael Jordan's Bulls, famously who hated each other, Pistons and Michael Jordan at that time. And he had like another one on the shelf I saw when Macaulay was crawling up it. Mad thing to do.
He's got a full Jordan cardboard cutout in his room, yeah.
Yeah, and Detroit Pistons, it's just like,
wow. Yeah. I did like when Kevin breaks into his chest of good shit and the firecrackers are in there, and then when he reads the Playboy. Did you see what the Playboy said? This was interesting when I was reading about the film. The Playboy Playboy issue is the same issue that is in Under Siege. Right, because Erica Eleniak,
okay,
she's in Under Siege when she jumps out the cake.
Yes.
So she was the playmate of the month in that issue because she used to be in Baywatch. Okay. Then in front of that issue of Playboy, it was like broadcaster special, and it was just what a girl. Behind news desk. So it must have been, it would be like a broadcaster special British one with like fucking Lorraine Kelly and shit.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. An extra grim one is what you're saying. What do you say? Not a clothes on any of them.
No, he goes, what is it? No clothes on any of them. Sickening.
Yeah.
And then when he lifts up the, because that's the line my kids find the funniest in the film.
Which one?
When he goes, Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof.
It looked like just Buzz.
It's just a dude.
It's a dude because the
filmmakers went, that's far too harsh in a kid's film to just
bring a kid
look
in.
Look how ugly this girl is.
Look at this mother.
They just got a dude and put him in a wig.
Okay, that's fair. That's good. Good idea to do it. I always notice that in films too, when they do that. I'm always like, imagine being that. Hire for that. We need a fucking...
Oh, I know. No, I know.
We need a munter.
Oh, I know.
And I reckon they barely do up the makeup. They're like, to make them feel better, because, we need an ugly cunt. But they're like, we'll do a good job in makeup. And then they're like, you barely touched me with the... you barely touched me with the brush. Are you ready?
I think that quite a lot with people in...
Yeah.
I thought it recently in... Do you know the Steve Coogan Savile... documentary thing?
No, Alpha Papa.
Yeah, because I didn't like. I don't want to get this episode too fucking heavy with this kind of shit. But at the end, I didn't think they'd touch the idea that Savile used to get access to the morgues. right? Okay. And they very briefly do it in the last episode where like a woman who's died, grandmother who's died, gets wheeled in. He sneaks in. And then it cuts away, but you can tell from his movement beforehand,
yeah,
he's basically footering about with a corpse underneath, yeah, underneath the sheets. And then another guy comes in and goes, what are you doing in here? Get the fuck out.
Do you see? Oh.
So that woman is credited at the end. And that kind of, that level of, because you're a level above extra in terms of acting world. So she'll have an agent. Those phone calls with agents fascinate me. Like, I've got a part for you. This new Steve Coogan. No, it's not Partridge. It's not. It's a historical piece.
Okay.
It's really good. You get to act with Steve Coogan. No lines. No lines.
Under a... It'd be under a... A tarp. Did you see the Frank Bruno... What Jimmy Savile did to Frank Bruno?
No.
You know Frank Bruno, the boxer or whatever?
Yeah.
So Jimmy Savile and it got him into, they were in like a hospital for whatever, mad cunts. And Jimmy Savile and Peter Sutcliffe were friends.
Good, you know, God.
The murderer. And he got him to, and Frank Bruno, he says basically he was having a laugh and he was like, here, meet one of the patients. And he got Frank Bruno to take a photograph with Peter Sutcliffe, you know, shaking hands. And then Frank Bruno was like, I wouldn't have took fucking hands if I'd known who it was.
God almighty.
And some of the bodies that Sutcliffe had were near Savile's house. Two or three of them are in the general area. And I'm like, how much, there's so many different like fucking, like other things that haven't been.
The whole thing fascinates me how it was like, I saw a clip randomly came up when I was like scrolling through Instagram, and it was a clip from a TV show I don't even remember, but it must have been late 90s, early 2000s, where it's Jimmy Savile comes on, sits down in what is basically a dentist's chair, right? Has a cigar, and then Jack D stands next to him and roasts him. He just does a shitload of roast jokes to him. I've never seen any, I've never heard of it. I don't know how this has passed me by. But, and Jack D clearly knows, because the jokes are mostly about you would make jokes about with Jimmy Savile. But this is primetime television. And Jack D at that point was arguably the biggest stand-up in the country. Like, this is a man who's just about to start Live at the Apollo, and he's actively just roasting a sex offender. And the audience are fucking howling, laughing at these insinuations.
Amazing. How fucked is that? Like, it's just so fucked when they look back. BBC people must be looking at it going like, we've made a right oil.
I know.
We've made a right oil balls to this.
Thank God TV has moved beyond that and doesn't have sex offenders on it at all. Certainly not comedians.
Al Fuller's face was very funny when he took the Pepsi. He was high as fuck.
He's sugared out his mind.
Before Frank fucking squashes him. Absolutely hazels him.
Here's what I want to ask you. Right, theories aside, do you think it's realistic that they leave Kevin behind?
Yeah.
You do? I think even as good a job they do by explaining where she miscounts the kid because the neighbour comes across. You know what?
If it's your own kid, I suppose, no.
I think it's stretching it.
I mean, it's definitely happened. That's what I'll say.
It's happened in your family, definitely.
It's definitely happened. I used to do that. I used to run away.
Oh, did you? So I'd threaten it. I would never actually have the balls to do it. But
I my mum, like when I was like 3 years old, as soon as I'd be able to walk, she'd find me up the road. Then a runner.
But is that not you being curious? That's not you actively saying, I'm out of this place.
Well, it never really made sense. And then I'd go to my neighbour's house and I would never refuse to leave her house. There would be like, I'd be grabbing the side of the door like, never! You're not bringing me home. And it'd be like, my thing's like, it was like a cartoon. You were like dragging your legs off the... So maybe
I didn't realize until I watched it last night that, and when Kevin attacks Buzz because he's eating his pizza and all the milkshake gets spilled over all of the passports, I didn't realize that Kevin's dad had thrown out Kevin's ticket. I didn't realize there was a plane ticket within all that shit, all the napkins and stuff that he's thrown out. So that explains why
I never fucking saw that.
Yeah, because that would explain why when they got to the airport
they didn't go
the flight. crew didn't flag it up because there was no ticket for that seat. So, but then
I didn't know that. What a thing to happen. Two things in a row.
But exactly. But also, why? Well, all the kids that are sitting back in economy class. Have none of them noticed at this point that Kevin isn't about?
Nobody.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean. They hate the kids is, so much that they 15. Don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just despise him so much. I've never seen a kid treated this badly in a film.
What kind of father?
Genuinely.
What kind of father? What kind of an uncle as well? Like, look what you've done, you jerk.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah, like you would shout at a kid, like, or say something, and sometimes they'd be harsher over the top. Out of like reactionary, but he literally just sat there. It happened. It was only a thing on a pizza.
It's utterly mental.
Stood up and was just like.
And also, why is it like the reaction to him being at home? Firstly, is very calm from a lot of them. Catherine O'Hara's maybe a bit more animated. The dad. Very cool about it. The uncle and auntie, very
cool.
That's
because he's like, my plan's
Everyone on the plane, very cool about it.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why isn't she hauled off to jail immediately?
Like, for our...
Why aren't people meeting her in Paris and going, right, first of all, we need to get your kids safe.
Yeah.
But then you are going to jail because you do not... You cannot leave an eight-year-old... At home.
That's not a jail thing, is it?
What? Of course, it's absolute child neglect.
It's not fucking child neglect. There's no way if that happened in real life, you get arrested for it.
You're not even saying arrested. I'm going straight to jail. You're not saying even
no.
a caution.
No. No.
Not.
It's just a mistake.
It's, no. That is.
Yeah.
That is. It's. You get fucking. You can get a charge for leaving your kids. In a hot car and nipping into Aldi, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but like, that's Aldi. No, but it is. But that's a hot car, you know, you're going to kill the bastard.
Why doesn't she? See, when she phones up the cops, she's very blasé about it.
The cops,
she doesn't really explain
it. She just says it twice. I'm in Paris and I've left my 8-year-olds at home. They're like, yeah, okay.
But she didn't even say I've left them at home. She just said, my son is home, my child is home alone. So that sounds like I've got a rowdy teenager. They're probably getting up to some shit.
Yeah.
Could you send a cop round just to make sure the place is still standing?
Yeah, yeah.
If you phone... Also, do you know one of the cop that they talk to is the guy that plays Mr. Heckles in Friends, you know, the guy that lives up the stairs His name, do you know what his name is? The cop's name? Sergeant Ballsack.
What?
His name's Ballsack. I just noticed this last name. His name's Ballsack. She knocks. Hey, Ballsack.
I know, I'd not have missed that. Sergeant Ballsack.
But if she... there is no way you would explain it like that to the police. You would go, look, here's what's happened. Through some bizarre misfortune and series of calamities.
Yeah.
Our entire family has come to another country and we have left our youngest child at home in a massive house on his own.
Not a single neighbour.
Yeah, not a single neighbour's around.
Hasn't answered their phones.
Yeah.
Nobody. For Christmas, where everybody would be at home.
So I'm not just... She says, could you send someone round? I'm not... I want the army round.
Like,
get a helicopter up immediately and find out he's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they send one cop. The cop gives a cursory knock, goes, everything looks fine here. And that's it. She never phones up and go, did you send that guy around? Ah, he says it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no follow-up call.
Sweet.
No...
Cool. Even in the car when you're doing nothing, when John Candy gives her a lift the whole way around the place, you think you'd be like, well, I've plenty of time now to call this cunt.
Do you want to hear the John Candy theory?
Yes, I do.
There was a theory that John Candy's the devil in this film.
He's trying to delay him.
Just before, when she's trying to reason with, when she's trying to get another ticket back to Chicago, and all the flights are booked up, she says, I would make a deal with the devil to get back to my child. And then Candy just suddenly appears and goes, I heard you got a bit of trouble there, right?
The devil's music, isn't he playing?
Yeah, he's at the poker.
Fucking hell.
I genuinely don't want to ruin this lovely family film, but
I think you've already passed that now.
Do you reckon she had to suck off any other poker players in the van.
Mark.
Because Candy says, maybe we can help each other out here. What else would that mean? How is she helping them in any way? She's bringing nothing to the party. They're bringing the van. They're bringing the entertainment. They're bringing the way home. What's she bringing? What, good chat?
That's right. They did. He did say that. We can help each other.
We could help each other out. That is that is a sinister line.
It is.
To then go into a van.
Yeah, it is.
With 12 musicians who, as he has already said, have been on the road for a long time, so haven't seen their wives for a long time. A single
like they're fucking are you saying Vietnam vets, poker players?
It was that line where you go, she's had to suck a couple of them off.
Mark, if you had this film, you're trying to tell me that he would have been a sex trafficker. He hired all this to happen. It came out. They went to thing. The wife caught on to it. Get out, had to suck a bunch of poker players off to get home.
Yes.
That's your Home Alone.
Yeah.
PG. You slapped a PG on it and made the... No wonder Macaulay Culkin fucking turned to heroin.
Imagine the first drafts of the script. We can't sell this to Warner Brothers.
PG.
The last theory... Right, this one isn't, well, it is bad. But
okay.
Do you know there's a theory, I've already mentioned it, that Kevin McAllister grows up to be the serial killer in Saw. That's a massive theory on the internet.
Right.
Because that's his first foray.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
If you look into the traps.
Okay, yeah. Well,
they're not that far. Like, he's just, okay. It's just, Jigsaw is just an extension of what he's Home done Alone. Immediately there. That's his first foray into torturing people that have done something wrong. And Kevin has grown up in such a bad household and has been mistreated so badly that that's what clicks and snaps in his brain, where he goes, I'm going to punish wrongdoers for the rest of my life. That those are the first two wrongdoers that he's punishing. And from that, he goes, right, from now on, I'm going to set traps for people. Wow. And ask them to redeem themselves.
Okay, right, okay. That's out there. So
they don't.
If you put
the guy who plays Jigsaw and Macaulay Culkin, you and said, do you reckon that guy grows up to be that guy?
No, I remember the guy who plays Saw. He's in fucking
same color hair.
Chris Rock. He got the whole thing wrong. No, I remember that guy. He wasn't in Lost, was he? Not Lost. No. It was Persons of Interest.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think that's not out with the realms of possibility.
So you're trying to tell me, let's just update this.
No, I'm not saying all the theories are all in the same world.
Thank you, because that'd be quite a grim world.
Some of them might be, that might be only one.
But
it might be none. It's probably none. It's probably just a nice family Christmas film, which is how you should take it if you're watching it with your children. But
you want
to? We are here to delve beyond.
When they put the kid up on the when they finally catch him and put him up on the clothes thing, they do threaten to blowtorch a kid.
Yeah.
And eat his fingers.
Yeah.
They said he was going to eat his fingers. I was like, ugh.
So Pesci bites him in real life in that.
Does he?
That's how they get that, because Pesci was, Pesci, just class.
As Macaulay's first taste of drugs.
Got into
his system.
But he, to get the part, like to absolutely nail the part and to get the relationship between himself and Kevin as a character, he would never ever speak to Macaulay Culkin on set and would actively ignore him, so that he would have this fear in terms of the acting. And then when he did that, to get that shocked look in his face, he wasn't told actually bite the kid, but apparently he properly fucking chomped down on Macaulay Culkin's finger. And that's why Culkin's like,
he's a psychopath. Yeah.
He had to get told. See how he does that almost dastardly and motley thing whenever he gets hurt, and he goes, "Are you fucking shit or whatever." He came up with that because he couldn't stop swearing. Like, it's not. I never realised this about Joe Pesci. It's not just in films that he swears a lot. Apparently in real life, he cannot stop cursing. He's basically Tommy from Goodfellas all the time.
Yeah, this wouldn't
work. So they said, he can't.
He swears in his music.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Christmas. He's got a Christmas album.
Yeah. So he does fucking, yes.
I can't believe it. I fucking even never put that together. It's all about beating women, but it's a Christmas album.
But someone needs to do this. That's a good thing. I wish we were better at Photoshop and film editing and all that kind of shit. If someone could take the lines from Goodfellas when Tommy's angry and dub them into when he's just been blowtorched and stuff like that.
That'd be the
Billy Bats bit. If he'd just been blowtorched and he's going, "You motherfucking muchie, you cocksucking motherfucker."
That would be funny.
It would
work exactly. Yeah. Jesus Christ. He acts very well going up the slippy, the ice steps.
Oh, yes.
I understand that you can do that and you do it yourself, but to that level, because he is going to face plant at all times.
Aye, that can't be easy, that physical. No. Amount of physical acting.
What age is he? There. And he must be in his... maybe he's not too bad.
40s, probably. Early 50s.
I think Joe Pesci's older than he is.
That
doesn't make sense. I reckon Joe Pesci is older than he is. What do you mean by that, Ryan? Just as, all right?
The last thing I found very funny about this when I was reading about it, Macaulay Culkin, because I didn't realise that kids would have stunt doubles. Because obviously, when they did the Goonies, get those kids to do.
Legally,
you can't ask a child to do stunts.
So as we midgets.
So they need a stunt double. Fuck, Macaulay Culkin's stunt double from Home Alone's a 30-year-old man.
You're fucking kidding me.
30-year-old guy.
You fucking kidding me.
So they would put him in Kevin's clothes.
But
just a small 30-year-old man.
That's unbelievable, because no harm. I would know the difference between a child and a...
Yeah, but I mean, it's not so bad.
It's a little person.
I'm going to go back and watch it, actually, because apparently you can really see it when he does the zip wire to the treehouse. Because you can't really see it when he does the... Because the two scenes the stunt double come in for are the zip wire scene and when he does the sledging down the stairs and goes outside. Now, you can't see it in that because obviously it's from behind. He's got all the winter gear on. But apparently in the zip wire, you can probably see that it's just an adult in kids' clothes.
Who's that? Where'd the kid go? One of the elves is coming. I love the way they have the wet bandit thing, and they keep, it's very funny when he's now we know exactly every house you hit.
Yeah.
And he's like, you fucking.
Yeah, again, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it kicks into the thing. That was great. But what would you, when I was a kid, by the way, I thought cat burglars were just people who stole cats. I genuinely, it was that, and I thought Hitler and Charlie Chaplin were the same person. Did all that.
That one's understandable. Yeah, cat.
It was until I saw him. I was like, imagine doing all that and still tap dancing. but cat burglars thing, but the calling card thing is what would your calling card be if you would throw people off? I'd leave a core CD. What the fuck's he doing?
It can't be that bad.
It's not David Gray's White Ladder.
The wet bandit thing is actually my calling card whenever I pump your mouth.
Yes, it's I. The wet bandit.
Leave it absolutely.
Which one's the
dripping?
Fuck's sake. Bandit
people
as well.
Wading
bandit as well. Just makes you feel like you're going right through the home. You're tearing your way through the neighborhood.
Do you not think the Marley storyline is quite nice?
No, it's an old kind of. I used to, and then for whatever reason this time, maybe I was just feeling like a thing, but it didn't get me. In my head, I was just like, why is this cunt just opening up all of a sudden in a church to a kid?
Yeah.
Why is it also like, why are you here?
Why is Kevin there? It's because there's a place of safety. It's because he was so...
He was like, hey, my family's gone.
Yeah, but... I know what you mean.
Also, you know what annoyed me? When he hides in the nativity scene, he puts the cloak over. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they don't have real cloaks. It's always the statue is the cloak's on the statue. It's a statue of a cloak. He takes a statue.
Oh, yes,
and
so he
takes
does.
The cloak and goes. And I'm like, why would it have a real cloak on it?
You're right.
You know, you'd be ripping the plastic off.
He should have pretended to be Jesus.
Yeah.
Just an 8-year old Jesus.
stand on the nail on 2 feet.
I quite like the.
It was all right. You know, just open up. I was in my head. I was just like, go to therapy.
Yeah. Well.
You know. But he was, as the youngins would say, he was trauma dumping on the kid.
Is that what it's called? Trauma dumping?
Trauma dumping. No, I was going to say, I have a few other little small notes. First of all, I have a weird, weird song choice when he leaves the church. It sounded more like a Halloween jingle to me.
Oh, yeah. That my kids have actually said that's a creepy song.
I was like, that's a Halloween jingle. I'm with your children on this one.
Yeah, they think that a lot of the music in Home Alone is quite creepy.
I thought that was creepy. I thought that was.
They also think the song, and it is quite creepy. Have you heard the song "Carol of the Bells"? Carol of the bells, and the bells,
Omen.
The bells. Where are my bells? Where the fuck are my bells? Yeah. Who's taking my bells?
Yes, I absolutely agree. That was in the church.
That's a creepy song.
Yeah. You feel like you're about to get murdered, but yeah, hovering over you with a knife.
Yeah.
Omen.
Yeah, there's so many music, yeah. Yeah.
I've also got written three Tic Tacs. Remember, he gives them three Tic Tacs to fake Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Imagine if they were ecstasy. It's like, fuck you, kid.
Maybe they are.
And that's why he's all, there's my theory. They were pills, and that's why he comes back all fucking pumped up, going like, no, I need to defend my house.
Oh, now you see, it's easy when you start coming up with theories, isn't it?
He's on gear. He's on some sort, he's on pills. He's coming up big time. He tries to make a mac and cheese. He doesn't even eat it.
He doesn't, no.
Because he's on pills. Why would you eat a mac and cheese?
Why would you? But he tans the milk.
Also, yeah. And he's like, my main one about my thing that pissed me off the most. First of all, two things the robbers do. Number one, he knows when all the Christmas lights are going on.
Mm-hmm.
To what end? Oh, look at this. It'll be 6:57.
Aye, because that's because... But then he's trying to prove to Marv that everyone's away. Because he's gone round and done the...
Okay, right.
He's cased all the joints.
Right. Apart from... Right, okay, that's fine. Here, explain this one. If you're going to rob this neighbourhood, why do they keep going like, oh, we'll come back at 9 when it's dark? And I'm like, 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's true.
9 a.m. fucking Coronation Street still on. What are you doing?
That is true. Aye. And also
9 o'clock.
They also scope a lot of the places out in the middle of the day. You shouldn't be anywhere near that area in the middle of the day.
He keeps going like, we might get spotted here. And I'm like, you're already doing it.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
You mean. 9 o'clock killed me. I was like, 3 a.m. 9 o'clock. Fucker, the kid. We have to come back when the kid's still awake.
Yeah.
Come when he's asleep.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know who the guy that plays the Santa Claus is?
No.
Who else he's in? He's the guy at Groundhog Day that Bill Murray meets every morning when he comes out of his room. He goes, off to see the groundhog.
Really? Fuck's sake. Jesus. That's a good spot.
Yeah.
I've got, what else have I got here? I've got most of these done. Do you know? No, I actually have written this in because I thought it was great. There's one shot, like actual shot in the film. I was like, that's an unbelievably good shot.
Mm.
And it's when Pesci's got arrested and the car's coming out of the thing, but it's facing that way. And the car reverses and it's just him, you know, in the back of the thing. And he's looking. Great scene and a great look. But that's a fucking perfect.
That is nice.
Just the perfect shot of the window. When he reverses and I go, that's somebody showing off. And you wouldn't think about it in a kid's film.
Is good, actually. Aye.
Yeah, I thought that was good. By the way, and another thing, the last one I have, two things. I think it would be a better ending if when he walks towards the window, and he looks out and the old man's actually murdering his own son with a shovel.
They couldn't resolve the differences.
Or he opens the curtains like that and it's the old man, he's looking in having a wine.
How did he know to turn up at the neighbour's house to save him? Has he been watching all this shit?
I think I think what they kind of hint at is the way I was complaining, like, he didn't say anything. He's probably like, why the fuck is this kid running around alone here?
Aye.
He probably kept an eye out. He probably went into the neighborhood and saw it.
Aye.
Must have checked and he was like, these are all fucked. And he wandered in. He must have been watching eventually. He must have been like, this is too weird. Because it did happen that evening when he did run exactly, after. Yeah. So I would say he's probably kind of went.
There's another wild theory that he's Kevin from the future. I don't buy that one at all.
That one's... No. I'm going to...
The last thing, I don't know why this reminded me, right? But see when he's in... when Kevin goes to the supermarket and he's buying all these groceries and stuff and person says to him, are you here all by yourself? And he basically goes, Mom, I'm 8 years old. Do you honestly think I'd be out shopping on my own? And he goes, I don't think so, right? It reminded me of one of my favourite jokes of all time, right? I don't know if you've heard this, right? Postman goes to the door, right?
Okay.
Door opens, a kid standing there in a smoking jacket with a cigar, a glass of brandy, holding on to a prostitute. The postman says, is your mum or dad in? And he goes, does it fucking look like it?
That's so stupid. It's great. Fucking look like it. You know, there's another thing just before you fucking think. They don't know, the family or the parents never know that any of it happened.
How do you mean?
He cleans up.
Oh!
They get arrested. They arrive in, the house is fine, and nobody mentions the fact that he just goes, I just did the shit. So he grows up, they grow up thinking that nothing happened.
That's a good point, because he never. How does he clean the place up?
He cleans the fucking place up. He just wrecks the brother's bedroom. Buzz screams down because he's wrecked his bedroom. He can't fix the shelves, like.
So he doesn't bother cleaning up Buzzy's room, but he cleans up
the absolute massacre
that he's caused the night before.
And nobody knows. He's going to drop that at a Christmas dinner when he's like 25. Yeah, yeah, by the way, remember the timing? Two people tried to murder me.
Yeah.
I incinerated their heads with blowtorches. The thing saved me. Even that shovel guy might mention to the parents.
Exactly, aye.
And he'd be like, what happened?
I have a feeling that whole episode would never ever get mentioned again in the house.
Yeah,
like,
it's
one of those things that they would just go, let's just never talk about that Christmas. Yeah. Remember that time? We're not going to talk about it until we also make the same mistake next year.
When
we go to Florida and you end up in New York.
That's the one with the Irish one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or Fricker, what do you call her? Brenda Fricker.
Yeah, the woman that looks like Piers Morgan.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so, so accurate. Devastating.
Right, that's Home Alone. I apologise if I've made this distasteful for you. It was not my intention. It was just, I think there are dark undertones.
He's a sexual trafficker.
Yes.
She sucked off everyone to get home in a van. Yeah.
Almost,
and he turns into a serial killer and saw.
I feel...
the taste of...
I feel that her having to suck off the poker players is actually probably the most distasteful theory I've given.
Yes.
I think that's worse than the dad being an international criminal.
I do too for some reason.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it?
It's, I don't know. It doesn't make as much sense, you know, because technically he's trafficking people that are probably going to be doing that.
Yeah. But it just seems worse.
It's
John Candy, I think.
Aye. I was about to go, the fact that it's Catherine O'Hara. we were on two different lines.
Right, we're going to be back with a Christmas film again next week. Ryan, what are we watching?
Oh, which one's next week? Daddy's Home 2.
Is it Daddy's Home 2 next week?
Yes, superb. I think we're going to go Daddy's Home 2. And then...
Will we just tell them what we're going to do?
Yes. Keep it, you know, a surprise? What? I think we should tell them because they might have chances to watch it more over the months. Well, we won't do this for other films, right?
No.
But since it's the Christmas ones. So we have...
Daddy's Home 2 next week.
Yeah.
Then on Christmas week, it is going to be It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And then to finish off, the absolute abomination that is Love Actually.
That's the four. That's the four.
That's the quartet.
Love Actually is the film I still complain about the most. So,
That's going to be a long episode.
That's going to be a 3-hour special.
Yeah.
I even have trivia about Love Actually that I know.
This is going to be the film where you come with the theories.
Oh, like. But I fucking... It's unbelievable. Such a horror show in a film.
Keep listening, keep sharing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, please do.
Tour tickets all on the usual kind of shit. Roast Battles is going to be big on
this coming Monday. This coming Monday, Isn't it Monday? I think it is. Yes, sorry. Whatever.
It is Monday.
It is. I fucking think.
Monday the 11th, I think.
I think it is, yeah. It's on the 11th for them. Yeah. Yes, that's this moment, Monday. We're doing each other.
Yeah, we're doing each other.
We're shaking each other. We're on stage. Yeah. We'll probably fucking record one after or before.
We've taken the literal roast.
Yeah.
We're actually...
I've written none. I should need to fucking.
I've not written a fucking thing.
Jesus Christ.
No. Anyway. But we'll get there.
We'll get there. I'm sure we'll have stuff to say.
Keep leaving the 5-star reviews, all that shit. But this has been a lot of fun. We'll see you next week for Daddy's Home 2. Bye bye.
Bye bye.